Woohoo! Hello, friends, and welcome to this special edition of the Go Bucket Yourself podcast. Today's episode, we are doing, what are we doing, Deb?
I think it's kind of like a year in review. Would you call it that?
Possibly.
A best of?
A best of, another way to describe that, yes. Best of 2021, or things that were meaningful and significant to us in 2021. Kind of a new spin on something that we've seen other either YouTube channels or podcasts kind of do, and I think it's kind of fun. So we thought we would do this for the Go Bucky Yourself podcast at the end of the year.
Fun, special, spin.
Are you just shouting out words now?
Those were all words that jumped out to me
from what you said. Oh, okay. All right. Spin. I don't know about spin, but let's spin to win. All right.
You said a new spin.
Oh, then I guess it is a spin to win 2021 year. So.
I don't think that means what you think it means.
I think it does.
Oh.
You want to start us off, or I guess I could start us off.
Well, you're the question poser. You did the outline. You poser.
Actually, that guy that wrote that song, I Took a Pill in Ibiza.
Yeah.
Isn't his name Poser?
Oh, what is his name?
Matt.
Mike. I Took a Pill in Ibiza.
Yeah, anyways, so he walked across the U.S. east to west, and now I guess he just climbed Everest, too. So,
and this has absolutely nothing to do with us today.
Except I think he's out there bucketing himself right now.
I got it. Mike Posner.
There you go. Mike Posner.
Right?
Congratulations, wherever you are. Shane met him in Lamar.
I remember.
He got bit by a rattlesnake.
At the airport.
Yep. Funny stuff.
He flew him. Did he fly him somewhere?
I'm not sure about that.
Shane is Chris's brother.
Brother.
And maybe this will be cut out. I don't know. Chris doesn't like to edit very much.
Nope. I'm lazy. Okay, cool. So, Deb.
Chris.
Can you name me? So, the category here, we're going to start off with category of your top three books of 2021. Can you name me one of those books now?
This is so hard for me, Chris, to pick three books because I read, should I cuss or keep it clean?
Let's cuss it up. We haven't cussed in a while.
I read a shit ton of books this year and a lot of them were good. And then I was like, fiction or nonfiction? Should I put a fiction one in there? But the first one was easy to come up with, so I will just say it. I've talked about it this season already. It's called The Way of Integrity by Martha Beck.
Yes, I've heard that book titled around this house a lot this year.
It's, I think, the best book I've read this year. And she doesn't mean integrity in the sense of like, these are my core beliefs and values. She means it more in the sense of, this is my truth. And if I'm in integrity, I'm acting in alignment with that truth. So I'm not being in alignment with someone else's wants and needs in one situation, a different person when I'm at work, a different person at home, trying to please someone here. I'm in alignment with my own internal truth. I'm following that one path.
Yeah, and that seems fitting. I have not read the book yet. I intend to read the book because we intend to do a podcast episode just on that book, I believe. But it's funny, kind of like, you know, when you read this first article about like, oh, eating broccoli is good. And then you watch a show and they're eating broccoli and that's good. And then you eat broccoli and you're like, oh, that's good. It's just funny how integrity, authenticity, truth just keeps circling back around for both of us in our lives. Like, I mean, it's one of those where I feel like it's one of the more powerful words that I know. And because it has helped to guide me in, I don't know, in so many ways that feels like the right way to live. Like, I think, not that I've ever called myself like a liar or dishonest, but there was just some level of either unawareness or ego that got in the way so much of my life to where I don't think I was living in a life of integrity, or I wasn't living, in harmonic nature with with my truth or whatever. And so every time that you read a book or I read a book or we read a book or we talk to someone about this kind of stuff, it just helps to let me know that, yeah, broccoli is good and eating it is good and nature, our integrity is something that's valuable to me.
Yeah. So I guess it applies in my life in that I was like a people pleaser, perfectionist to the sense of like having an outer appearance of who I was and having it together. And each time I did something to please someone else, there was a little unconscious part of me that betrayed myself. So she goes into it very well in the book, but the things that can happen when we betray our own internal nature for something, someone else, society's version of who and what we should be, our work version of who and what we should be, our family's idea of who and what we should be, the repercussions of betraying ourselves in that way, how to get back to our true nature, and I guess the joys and rewards of doing that.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So sounds like it's worth a read.
Yes, I would agree. It is worth a read. How about you? You want to share your top?
I didn't necessarily put them in order as far as number one was the best and number three was third best. But I will say The Power of Meaning was a very helpful book for me this year. And I'm trying to think, I don't know the author offhand, but when we link to all these things in the notes below, you'll know who that is. And I guarantee if you Google The Power of Meaning, this is the book that's going to show up. But similar to integrity, I think meaning holds a similar definition for me in that I think a lot of us are chasing happiness. You talk about this in several episodes this year, kind of that idea of, what do you call it? Like the
destination addiction.
Yeah, destination addiction. Like once we get X, then we will ultimately be quote unquote happy or be, have arrived or have made it, or then there's nothing else in our lives we need type of thing. And, in The Power of Meaning, I would say one of the big points that I took away from the book was that there's more value, more overall fulfillment, and life is worth living, a feeling of that with meaning, than there is for happiness. Because a lot of us chase happiness and a lot of us find happiness, and that doesn't mean happiness is a bad thing. It's just sometimes when we get to a place in life, which I feel like I'm there, where most of or all of my base needs are met, a lot of my desires are met, that doesn't necessarily do everything for me, because that's very self-fulfilling. And then once I start to take a look at, or at least by reading through The Power of Meaning, she helps to break meaning down into four components or four pillars. And then as I examine each of those pillars, connection, belonging, purpose, and transcendence is the fourth one. But as I look at those pillars and I start to examine purpose and I start to examine belonging and connection, it helps to give more oomph to life, because there's something out there bigger than me, and I'm not just trying to fill Chris Immick's desires, check off Chris Immick's bucket list, do all the things that make me happy, and instead start to reach outside myself and hopefully try to either help or inspire or whatever other people. And that feels much better in many ways than just doing something that makes me laugh and happy.
Yeah, I hear you. And I'm reading the book now because you told me to.
Because I'm a ballsy bitch.
Yeah, it had me with the introduction, like very intriguing, inspiring introduction, well written. And I'm about halfway through, so not all the way done. I do love that it just shows the differences in our nature as humans. We both have work to do. We're almost working in opposite directions. And so, yeah, I appreciate the book. It's definitely worth a read, and we're going to dig into it in one of these episodes coming up. So,
yep. I just thought of her name, Elaine Esfani Smith. She's Middle Eastern, so I might have butchered that middle name a little bit, but yeah, her.
Cool. Very good.
All right.
So, and should we keep
drum roll?
Going?
Number two, or a book that is also in your top three.
Yeah. So I want to preface this with, it's definitely a big book for me of this year. However, I'm still not done reading it. Like, it is, I've been reading it for almost 6 months now. So just like a little bit at a time. And I thought, instead of like digging deeply into the book like we did with the last two, I would just read a quote from it. But now I'm trying to pull up the quote and it's taking me longer. Anyway, the book is Women Who Run With the Wolves by Clarissa Pinkola Estes. And it's just empowering to women about getting back to their wild nature. And so it starts each section with a different like tale or story or fable that's been passed on through different spiritual traditions, different areas of the world, and it uses those as lessons for women in how to be and show up in the world. So, very good.
Okay. Yeah. Women Who Run With the Wolves.
Yes.
I love anything with an animal in it, a hawk, or a, like Give Your Heart to the Hawks was a book I read this year. That's not in my top three though. So
yeah, this is very a wild book for sure. So here's the quote. I found it in time because you luckily stretched it out for me there a little bit. Clarissa Pinkola Estes, she says, "The doors to the world of the wild self are few but precious. If you have a deep scar, that is a door. If you have an old, old story, that is a door. If you love the sky and the water so much you almost cannot bear it, that is a door. If you yearn for a deeper life, a full life, a sane life, that is a door." So that's from the book.
Like it.
Yep.
Cool.
Your next one?
All right, so another book with the word power in the title, The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle.
How
so,
masculine are you?
So this one I listened to on the Arizona Trail this spring, and it was extremely helpful. So in that, Eckhart Tolle, isn't a name 5 years ago I had been that familiar with, but it seems like now, either by the podcast, the guided meditations, the books I'm reading, it just seems like he's a household name, you know, in kind of the self-help, spiritual self-help mindfulness space. Eckhart Tolle wrote this book. I'm thinking, I can't remember what the order is. A New Earth is another one of his big ones, but
That one was after The Power of Now.
Okay, so Power of Now is his taking of this concept of there is no future, there is no past, there's only the now. And I don't know if that alone will help you to get there. Probably not. But in this book, it just helped me to become aware of a lot of the things that cause me problems are either obsessing about the future, like I either try to overplan things or overcontrol things to where I guarantee, or I'm trying to guarantee myself a safe future or whatever. And then I think with you kind of, not obsess, that's probably not the right word, but you focus on the past a lot. Like
sometimes what? I yeah. obsess, like okay. right now. Yeah. It's all okay right. to say that.
All right. So like you glimpse into the past and think of past either transgressions, hurts, traumas, and don't let them go or whatever. So when either of us do that, I think we both can say that that's not helpful or beneficial. But when we're able to realize that right now, nothing's wrong. Like right now at this moment, Chris has no physical hurts. Chris has food in his belly. My bank account is where I need to be. I'm surrounded by people I love. And I have all these amazing things. And so why would I allow myself to slip to this place of worrying about, well, 2 years from now, I could lose it all, or I'll do this and I'll make this mistake, or the world's going to change in these ways that I can't control. And therefore, it's something I should worry about or obsess about. And so this True. Is only scratching the surface. But
can I also just say
that? Please interject.
The other power of now being present is that that is the only place you can change or control any of it. So even if right now your bank account wasn't where you want it to be, all you can do is act as you want to in this one moment right now. And in my view of the world now, it's almost like we create our own heaven or hell on earth right now while we're on it. And usually we create our own hell by living in the past or living in the future, both of which truly don't even exist. The past doesn't exist anymore. The future doesn't exist yet. All that exists is right now. So,
yeah. So it, to me, it's like a combination of a spiritual book, because he does use the word God a lot, you know, and but it's a different take on you know, the God, you know, that I was maybe raised with. So there's this spiritual element to it. There's this metaphysical element to it. There's this logical element to it. And he does a pretty good job in his German accent.
That's what I was going to say. You know what would really sell it is if you spoke as Eckhart Tolle does.
All you have is the time of now.
Exactly. So, he does refer to several spiritual traditions.
Yeah, Buddhism,
within the book. Yeah.
Christianity.
And I believe it.
Sufism.
It's kind of like a layer you could layer on top of whatever your spiritual tradition is.
Exactly. Yep. So yeah, I recommend it. And it's one of those where I probably re-listened to every chapter at least twice or three times on the trail. That's one of the benefits of hiking for 15 hours a day. You have a lot of time to listen and re-listen to things. And I guarantee you, when I listen to it or read it again, I will pick up, you know, another 20 things that I missed the first time. So I love those kinds of books where it's like $7 invested and get to enjoy mm-hmm. it over and over and over again.
Cool. It's a great one. I read it last year, though, so it did not make my list this year.
Get it out of here. Then.
And I'm wondering about our pacing. If we belabor everything this much, is it going to get boring?
Yeah, it will.
Okay, so my last book is Breath or Breathe, but I think it's Breath by James Nestor. It's just so fascinating. I would definitely read it again. I could probably learn more from reading it again. It's all about breathing through your nose instead of through your mouth. And that's all I really need to say about it. It's still in my head every night when I fall asleep. I try to fall asleep with my mouth closed and only breathe through my nose. And usually if I do that, my mouth stays closed and I breathe through my nose all night.
I read this one as well. And I used it again on the Arizona Trail. Like I'd be going up a fairly steep place where I'd naturally want to breathe out my mouth. But James Nestor does a compelling argument to say that we should be breathing through our nose often. And this is the health benefit. So I tried to do that as much as possible as well. So.
Yeah. It's basically going to solve all of our problems
all
if we just
problems.
Breathe through our nose.
If we have integrity, stay in the now and breathe through our nose.
What more do we need?
Game changer.
Okay, cool. What's your last one?
The last one is this one. I can't remember the author, but it's named The Other Side of Perfect.
Oh, geez.
And
this can't be true.
It is true. It is true. So yeah, that's Deb's book. If you have not, did not know that my lovely co-host slash wife slash whatever, best friend, wrote a book, and she published it in February 2021. And,
okay.
And, It was awesome for me because as your husband and someone that's been part of your life for so long, it was just amazing to be able to see through your words another side of you, or a deeper side of you, or a more colorful side of you that I had not either paid attention to or had not heard from you through just our everyday goings on. So yeah, it was helpful. I think in so many ways, again, reading it, consuming the material was helpful, even though I do not struggle with an autoimmune disease or chronic illness, other than the chronic illness of life and the tricky parts of living in an imperfect world, what comes along with that. But, it was still helpful, in other ways, like, you know, some of the quotes that you've shared on this podcast are also shared in the book, and the various stories of your life that I didn't know or didn't know to that detail have been helpful for our relationship and my connection with you.
Wow. Well, I will just try to graciously say thank you, though it feels maybe like a shameless plug. I do appreciate that affirmation.
You're welcome.
Okay, so I'll ask the next one. Moving on, let me do this.
There you are.
Okay, what's one food that helps describe your 2021, Chris? This was kind of fun. I was not expecting this question.
Yeah, I threw it. It just came to me. I threw it out there. I didn't give it much thought. I thought maybe it's a flop or not. But here is my answer to what's one favorite or one food that helps describe my 2021. Okay, picture it.
Sicily.
Yeah, 1948. no, picture it. White 12-inch flour tortilla. Then you layer on some mayonnaise, some mustard out of a packet, mind you, and then some hot sauce. Then you slice up some Spam and distribute that evenly. Sprinkle on some Colby Jack. Sharp cheddar cheese. It doesn't melt as much as like a Colby Jack does.
In your backpack, you're meaning?
Yes, I was going to get to that. But okay. Yes, so you sprinkle on that hard cheese, that sharp cheddar cheese. Then, then either, depending on your mood, you either crumble on Flaming Hot Cheetos or you crumble on Funyuns. And then wrap that bastard up and delicious.
Disgusting. But... oh, I thought you did tuna, but you did Spam.
I did both, but the Spam best describes me because lots of hikers out on the Arizona Trail ate tuna. I was one of the few that wanted the sodium fat pork load of Spam. So that's,
is a lot of sodium.
A boatload of sodium. Granted,
but you needed it.
I needed it, yes, but I wouldn't recommend that diet in your everyday life. But no, so that food, when I was thinking about the answer to this question, helps describe kind of like my 2021, like the Arizona Trail was a big part of it, and that food was a very unique thing to me. While I was out there, I enjoyed it while I was out there. I could not probably stomach it right now, nor would I want to, but yeah, that was my food that best helps describe 2021.
And, disgusting.
And if you have the same effing answer, I'm going to be so disappointed, Debbie. What's your answer?
Well, that is a good segue because if I ate that, my body would punish me for, I don't know, at least months. 2 weeks. It would be a long time. Yeah. So I will preface mine with this little tidbit about myself. At this point in my life, I have several dietary restrictions. If I eat certain things, my eyes will swell, I will get rashes, I will have physical pain in my body, and that all just makes me fear my body attacking cartilage that I don't want it to attack. So I don't eat eggs, I don't eat wheat, I don't eat much dairy. Every once in a while, I'll have some cheese. And
yeast,
I mean, sesame, lots of things, but in particular, that means I'm often looking for gluten-free vegan food because vegan means it doesn't have eggs in it or dairy. So when I had been to this place in Flagstaff with my dad already. And then when we came to meet you on the trail in Flagstaff, Arizona, I went back to this smoothie bowl place. And even though it was cold and snowing while we were in Flagstaff, I had two of these smoothie bowls that were like, with a tip, $19 for, to be quite honest, the place is lovely, but the people that work there are not that excited about doing their job or helping you. And I'm tipping them like $4 and paying almost $20 for a little smoothie bowl. So I came home and learned how to make my own, which really were not as good as theirs, but close enough and didn't cost $20 a pop.
You probably didn't put enough yeast and egg in yours.
Yeah, probably. So talk about obsessed. I was rather obsessed with smoothie bowls this year. I have not made them in quite a while. I probably wore myself out of them, but that's what I would say was unique food for my 2021.
Nice.
Love it. Yeah, if you're ever in Flagstaff and you want to try a smoothie bowl, there's a good place there. You just have to be prepared to pay quite a bit for it.
Cool.
Yep.
All right. So speaking of traveling to Flagstaff to get a smoothie bowl, what are your top two travel experiences of 2021?
This was hard too, because we went a lot of places with a lot of fun people that we love and appreciate. We saw some lovely people where they live, visiting them, like Austin, Cincinnati. We went to Tahoe with my dad and my dad's part of the family. But Tahoe was burning at the time. You and I were fighting also at the time.
Never.
Yeah, with all that in mind, I have plenty of guilt just picking the top two. But my top one, I would say Costa Rica, where I went to the surf camp you sent me to so lovingly. Yeah. And then Claire and my dad and my stepmom met me down there, and we had just a special time just with us. It's nice to do things individually with our girls. I think we get to just get to know them better and see them individually when they're not sort of competing or hiding in a way or whatever. So Costa Rica, I put as numero uno. How about you?
Cool. The Arizona Trail was my top travel experience. Of 2021.
Whoa, really?
Yes. Now that 6 months have passed, or actually more than that. Anyways, now that it's far in hindsight, or gosh darn it, now that it's quite a ways back in the rearview mirror, I've all but forgotten all the hard things or the sad times or the bad times or whatever, and only remember the highlight reel. And so, yeah, when I started to write this answer, it was easy. That was number one. Unfortunately, sadly, whatever you want to say, it was by myself. So that seems a little selfish to say that was my number one travel experience. It just, I guess, goes to show that even though I love traveling a lot with you and the girls as a family, and like you said, individually, like when you and I go on trips, or me and Lila go on trip, or me and Claire go on trip, I enjoy those as well. But I really enjoyed this one, and just the people I met on the trail and everything. So it was very it was something I will keep with me forever and ever.
Cool. You should just go ahead and do your number two while you're at it. You're on a roll.
All right. So number two, this one was trickier because, like you said, there are a lot of great trips that we had this year. But I will say our friend's trip to Charlotte in June, July, I think, was a great one. Just my two best friends from high school.
Well, because you also took my second one, I'll just jump in here.
Yes, do please.
I've known one of your two best friends, my two best friends, since fourth grade, I think.
Dustin.
So I still remember him running around in his Reebok high top Velcro. Yeah. Well, maybe they weren't. He would say they weren't Reebok because they were not name brand, probably. Mm. So yeah, not just since high school, since like
yeah,
elementary school, junior high school.
This
You've
is
known
true.
Josh since you guys were on a bowling league, right?
Yeah. So I've known them both, I guess. I don't know why. High school just seems like the right term that people use, like to say they've been long, great friends for a long time. But yeah, I actually knew Dustin from church, like in third grade. So
yeah. Yeah. Well, I put that as my second too. I remember like I had just started reading Women Who Run with the Wolves.
Okay.
And we rented this place right on the lake with our great friends. We're friends with their whole families now. We've been friends with them for a very long time. And we could just literally run off the dock and dive right into the lake. And so I ran off the dock with Josh's daughter and we jumped in, like just such a good memory, but also like paddle boarding for hours, just going out and doing it. Lila and I by ourselves on the paddle board for a long time, just tranquil, riding the boat. Josh, I don't know if you listened to this, but he really wanted to rent a boat. So that
and
happened.
Whatever Josh wants, Josh gets.
And it was fun for all the kids. And for us, you kneeboarded and I got to take a video of you crashing on your face. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved, so we rented a house and we had a van there that we did use to make a few grocery runs and all of that. But mostly we stayed in the house. We cooked in the house. We ate in the house. We each had our own routine. Rosie would get up and go running in the morning. You would do some paddle boarding. Smitty would do some workouts in the morning. Josh would drink coffee and eat donuts in the morning.
Dunkin' Donuts.
No, but I'm just joking. So like each of us got to do our own like alone time. And then we still had an easy opportunity to come together all as a group to see our girls play with their girls. There were no boys on this trip. Carter didn't come.
Oh,
so, yeah.
No.
So it was all girls.
Was a bunkhouse for the girls to all share a room together.
Yeah, a bunkhouse to share a room, a big little floating dock that they had to themselves that they just spent hours and hours on. So it was great. We really enjoyed that trip. So I guess since we tied on number two, do you want to do an honorable mention? Or just a quick version of an honorable mention?
You go for it.
Ecuador would be my honorable mention. Again, I traveled by myself on this one. It was great. It was splendid. I enjoyed so many elements of Ecuador and getting to the top of Cotopaxi. And I would love to go back. I know it's a little off the beaten path and it doesn't quite tick all the boxes in all the ways for our family or whatever. And so that's why I ended up going over this one just for a climbing trip. But yeah, it would get my honorable mention probably.
Yeah, I love Ecuador, and not that I don't want to go back. It is a super long flight and a little trickier to navigate with our girls at this point in their, well, Claire, who's 16 and has activities and friends and doesn't want to leave during school. So that's why I stayed back, but it's definitely a place worth going and spending some time for sure. So very good. Cool. Okay, moving on.
All right, you don't have an honorable mention?
Nah, I think I'm good. I'll leave it as is. I have, you know, lots of honorable mentions.
Very true.
I'll say that.
Lots of those. What self-help routine best describes your 2021, Deborah?
This was interesting for me. I was like, what? Always tea.
Yes, that should be no shocker to anyone.
Do you have a sound on your thing that goes with tea, like something amazing? Yeah. So tea and lots of reading, exercise is definitely, you said self-help. Do you mean like self-care?
But, yep.
Okay. Sure. So exercise, like those have always been it. I kind of slacked on my journaling and calendaring this year. This made me realize, and I don't know if that's something that I'm better off for or not. That might be something I need to bring back. But the newest addition to my self-care routine is putting a bunch of salt in my bath and some essential oils. And it's almost like a steam shower in there. I get it so hot.
Almost. That freaking room is 100% steam when I go in there.
But I don't know if it's a combination of things. I assume it probably is. But taking those hot magnesium baths with essential oils, I'm feeling a lot less pain and swelling in my body. And it just feels, I guess, luxurious for sure. Because they're long, if I'm being honest.
You are.
So that would be it. I think those are my top things. Another new thing, I think, for newish for this year is my mastermind, meeting with them regularly and having an accountability partner. That might have started the year before, but that's definitely a big part of my self-care, I think, is just connecting with those women in a very authentic, vulnerable way.
Yeah. And I didn't necessarily mean like it has to be like brand new, like you've only done this in 2021. But when I wrote the question and then the next day answered the question, my answer, this was another fast one too, is just long walks or runs in the sun. So I'm not a six-pack ab. Girls turn my way when I run by them with my shirt off, but I've been taking my shirt off more. Yeah, on walks and runs. And I just love the feeling of the sun, I guess, striking a lot of surface area of my skin. It takes me away to that special place. And yeah, so I've loved that element and I want to keep doing that. It looks like we might actually be getting cold here in December. We had an amazing October and November here in Colorado. Lots of great days for sunny shirtless runs and walks. But we'll see if December is going to allow much of that.
Cool. Well, that's good. I wish I would have, that makes me wish I would have made mine really simple, but I
don't know. Yeah, you're too complex of a person.
Jeez. Okay, so the next question is, what's something you let go of in 2021 and you're better off for it?
All right, so yeah, letting go. So not only adding to your life, but letting go. I think letting go is just as important, if not more important. So you could take this in a lot of ways, but I chose to take it in the way of letting go of habits that don't serve me well, that I have built over my lifetime. And so three of those habits, anger, judgment, and criticism, are things I'm actively working to let go of. I will not say that I have fully let go of them, not even close, but with each day or each month, I can feel myself being a more peaceful, less critical person. I don't know if that would be the opinion of the other three ladies that live in this house with me, if they've noticed that. But that's not necessarily what I'm here to work on. I'm here to work on me and whether or not I'm doing these things. And it's made me happier. It's made me feel more in tune with my real integrity to let go of some of these habits or traits that I've picked up or added to my backpack over the years that I, proverbial backpack, that I'm ready to now disregard or let go of more and more.
Well, I can affirm that you behave in a much more peaceful way, less angry, and that helps everyone feel more peace for sure. How have you done it? How can you let go of anger?
The biggest part was when I read a book, I think in 2018, after I had an angry tantrum with Claire. This was probably 3 years ago, so she was only 13, 12 then. And then after that, you and I had a fight's not the right word, but I knew that I had done something that had really disappointed you. And my ego stayed in play for quite a while where it wanted to excuse or defend how I behaved. But eventually it wore off and then I could actually see that this was something important to you. I didn't have to treat it as like you're saying I'm not a good person or I'm not a good enough person. I could just take it as this is feedback, Chris, that you can use to become a better version of yourself or a more honest version of yourself. And so I've got this book, Peaceful Parent, Happy Kids or something like that. And it in it, one key takeaway that I had was like, most likely anger is just something I have picked up generationally, aka like my great, 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 great grandfather was probably an angry person. And then he passed it down to his daughter, who passed it down to her son, who passed it down to his, you know, whatever. So for whatever reason, the simplicity of that, of like, oh, this is just something that when I was born, you know, it was already part of, I'm going to use this proverbial backpack metaphor again, but it was already something in this backpack. And so I have the option to stop it now. Like, I don't have to give this to Claire or Lila and they give it to their kids. Like, I can take it out of my backpack and not pass on this angry trait. And so then it became almost more like a challenge. Like, once I looked at it as like, oh, this is just a challenge. Like, you can stop this, rather than like, you're a bad person, Chris, because you get angry. Good people don't get angry. That was very helpful.
Mm, very good. Thank you.
And you, Deborah, what have you unloaded from your proverbial backpack? Or maybe that metaphor doesn't apply to what you're getting ready to say.
Well, this was tricky for me and my personality, because when I read it and then the end says, and you're better for it, for letting it go, I right away went to like a negative place where I was like, oh, I haven't really calendared this year. I bought this beautiful, nice calendar that I thought, you know, I would use and I loved. I used it last year, like religiously. And so then I was like, well, how, that's probably why you feel low, or that's probably why whatever. It was like a negative cycle. So then I was like, well, what have I let go of that's been good, which is harder for me to come up with. But I think one maybe important one is like letting go of feeling like, if I do something that doesn't benefit someone else, it's selfish.
Mm.
So even saying it out loud is like, well, of course it's selfish. If it benefits me, it's selfish. But I guess I'm learning that if it benefits me, then what I take from it.
Yeah.
Number one, it's okay that just I get something from it, I guess. And number two, what I bring back to my relationships is a better example of what I'm hoping to pass on or leave as a legacy.
Yeah. So, I mean, it sounds similar to mine. Like, you know, I don't... Like, for mine, it's easy, I guess, to say, like, letting go of anger is going to benefit, or has the potential to better benefit my children than maybe, you know, taking care of yourself. But it's like, it has the same net result. If your daughters and your friends and your loved ones see you loving yourself and taking care of yourself, it gives them permission, inspires them, and helps them to love themselves. And if this world was made up of a bunch of people that love themselves and love their neighbors as themselves, this would be a great world. So, yes.
Thank you.
All right. What, Deborah, is one thing you checked off your bucket list in 2021? And for full disclosure, my wife does not like a bucket list. So yes.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. This is kind of confession time. Yeah, for personal reasons, I have an aversion to lists, and it's probably not totally healthy, and it's something I need to work through. But there have been a few things in my life that I have gone back to that I'm like, someday I want to do this. Someday I want to do this. One was getting my pilot's license, and I've kind of like let that one go recently.
Yep.
But another was publishing a book, and I did that this year. So I think I can officially say, thank you, that I checked that one off of a proverbial bucket list.
We like Proverbs this episode, apparently.
Have I said that a lot?
No, I have.
Oh.
But now you just said it too. So it's
rubbing off.
It's contagious.
Okay.
All right.
What about you?
Yeah, for me, I'll go back to climbing Cotopaxi. So I actually keep a Trello board. I'm not sure if anyone on this in our audience is familiar with Trello, but it's like a project management tool online. And so that's where I actually track my bucket list items so that like if I'm somewhere and I hear a cool idea or a neat thing, I can quickly add it to my list. And then I can use that to reorganize from time to time, like, oh, this is what I want to do this year. This is what I've done in the past, all that. So climbing Cotopaxi was on in Ecuador, was on my list for a long time. It was part of my ultimate plan to get to the top of, or at least attempt to climb Denali up in Alaska at some point. So I just knew that I had to hit these various milestones in order to be ready or give myself the best chance to enjoy, be safe, and possibly summit Denali. And so Cotopaxi came on the list probably 6 to 7 years ago. As I learned more about Ecuador, I learned that there are other mountains, and I've been under the top of other mountains in Ecuador, but I did not get Cotopaxi in 2018 when we went last. But I did make it to 19,300 feet. And got to the top back in October or November of this
year. Yay! Where's your applause button?
Oh, pobrecito.
What?
No. Yay for me.
Yeah, that's cool.
The summit isn't all that it's about. It is about the journey, and I'm learning that more and more. But it was nice to step foot on the summit.
Well, in my experience, summits are pretty badass. Quite a view from the top also.
Yes, yes.
Well, cool. Good for you. Congrats. So what's one thing on your bucket list for 2022?
This one was hard as I was staring at that Trello board, that master list of all things that are still on my bucket list, and was trying to say like what's one of the items I would love to for sure happen in 2022. I focused in on the adventure and traveling list for quite a while, but none of them screamed at me like, yes, 2022. But then when, as I got down into the personal growth subsection of my bucket list, becoming fluent in Spanish almost got there, but actually hosting a Go Bucket Yourself event claimed that spot, as far as that's the one that felt the most like, yes, I want to do that. It's going to challenge me. It's going to stretch me. And if it goes, it will be something that changes me and hopefully changes others. And so that's what I want to do, is host a Go Bucket Yourself event in 2022. I kind of have a beta version of that rolling in January, where I'm taking like seven other guys from Front Row Dads, and we're doing a combination of a ski touring / ski resort week. So that's kind of my beta of this, or maybe even an alpha version of a Go Bucket Yourself event. But I really want to do the one that's been circling my mind for years, and put that into the world.
That's cool. That's an amazing goal.
And you, so I guess maybe I can call an audible here, but you can either say what's one thing on your bucket list for 2022, or I know one year you really were inspired with what's a way you want to feel, or what's one feeling you want to have for 2022?
Yeah, I definitely want to keep focusing on feelings. And my answer to this question, I'm going to stick with what I wrote down, is maybe going to seem underwhelming compared to what yours was, but I think yours is amazing. It's cool. I know you can pull that off. Mine is just silly and playful, and something that keeps coming back to me and I'm surprised. So I don't know yet. I'm still playing around with goals for 2022, but I think I want to learn how to do a handstand in 2022.
Yes. Nice. I love the silly and the fun and playfulness of that. Like, that's one thing that I think maybe turns off people, someone like you, Deb, from a bucket list, is like, it feels very masculine, or like, oh, look at me, I'm crushing the world. I climbed this mountain, or I got a G5 Gulfstream jet or whatever type of thing. And I don't think it has to be that way. Like, I think Maggie shared that one of her items was she wants to caulk her windows or something like that.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah.
and so yours is you want to be able to do a handstand.
I think, but I'm still putting it out there with trepidation. Like, it's not for sure on my bucket list, but it might be. It might be. I don't know.
So if anyone in the audience has mastered the art of handstanding and wants to tell Deb how life-changing this will be, or just how fun or silly it is, reach out to her and encourage her to go handstand her 2022.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And speaking of you who is listening, if you have interesting or any kind of answers to these questions that you want to share, this will definitely come out before New Year's. Like, reach out to us or share it on Instagram and tag us. We would love to hear what you guys were up to this year, what you might have planned for next year, answers to any of these questions. It would be cool to keep this conversation going.
For sure, for sure. So this went a little bit longer than I was intending. So I think we should call it good there.
Yep.
We wish you, friends, a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah. We actually just learned to play dreidel.
Yeah.
That was fun.
It was fun. Yep. Dreidel with M&Ms.
Yes, indeed. So have a great one, and go bucket yourself today.